Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor Terrell continues a series entitled, Back to the Book of Acts. As we proceed in the Book of Acts, it is becoming a bloody history as the devil becomes crueler in his suppression of the apostles and their followers. The early church faced a merciless Jewish leadership that employed torture and death, but at the same time, they also experienced a powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which had never before been seen on the earth. The early church was born in the fire of the Holy Ghost and baptized in the blood of saints who were slain by the Jews and Romans. This message is entitled Part 18, The Devil Bares His Teeth. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, March 23rd, 2008. And this is Resurrection Day. This is a day that the Lord rose many years ago, and someday He's coming back. And today we're going to be thanking God that He has been resurrected. Before we pray here today, I would like to speak to my congregation outside this church. Probably you have at least a few thousand people scattered around the world that are listening to me every week. And for this, we're very thankful. And some time back, we asked for some help to get our web streaming going. We'll be able to broadcast the service here live on the internet. And many of you responded and you helped us out, and we're just about ready to go. But there's one thing I want to share with you, and that is this, that the people in our church here are tithers. We are not that many people locally. I am at the place right now where I need prayer and we need support in order to go forward. I have not been paid for about a month and a half, and it is coming down to the place that it is extremely difficult for myself and my wife to maintain our lives and pay mortgage and so on. And I'm going to ask everyone listening to us, we have a number of people that are giving money every month faithfully. But there are thousands of you out there who have never sent a dollar into the ministry. You are listening to us. You like what we're doing. And I want to say this to you. We need help in order for us to be able to continue. There's been a few times in my life we've been down to a scrap time like this. But this is probably one of the worst times that we have been in the last 25 years. So if you're listening out there, you like our ministry, you never have given, this will be a time to send in a love offering to our ministry to help us to stay alive and to continue to work. So let's stand and pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now. You know that I cried out to you in prayer for weeks and weeks. And you laid upon my heart last night, Father God, to speak to all your children. Because, Father God, money does not come from heaven. They come from your people. And we pray today, Lord, that people in the United States, Canada, Europe, and other places will recognize that it takes money to have a ministry. And I thank you, Father God, for moving upon people right now to give us a hand in these crucial days as we are ready to start our web broadcasting shortly. And I thank you for that. And now, Father God, I pray you will open up the Word to us. Open the Word to us in such a way that we shall become alive and have power. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And those who agree said, Amen. You may be seated. First of all, I want to say this. I'm extremely thankful to be able to stand here today behind the pulpit and not having to sit in a chair. And you know, you never recognize what a blessing it is to be well until you get sick. And it was pathetic. My wife and I had to go and do a little shopping Friday. And I was really embarrassed. She said, "Would you like to use the cart?" And I says, "Well, yeah, it will make you more comfortable." And I shuffled like a man 95 years old holding that cart. And I was going slow. And it's embarrassing. But I really want to thank God that He is the one that keeps us healthy. And you know, I just want to share this with you very briefly before we get into the message. This last week, on Highway 65, coming down from Marysville to Roseville, and the highway there is made, there's no passing, double lines, and 55. And a man from Orland, which is up toward Corning someplace, was traveling down, going to Roseville, and he got impatient and gunned up the car, passed where there were double lines and everything else, hit the school bus, and was instantly killed. The school bus was damaged. The people in there had a few little things, but nothing of major problems. And I thought about this. When this man left home that morning to go down business here, he was in a hurry, tried to do this, 61 years old. He did not know when he left home, I don't know if he was married, said goodbye, that was the last time he walked out through his door. He would never come back again. I'm sure he was not prepared to meet God. Just driving down like so many people are, and then, just like this, in less than 10 seconds, he was in eternity. And I realize, as we're looking around today, things are getting a bit on the difficult side around the world, how precious every day is, that you and I never know when our day of departure is at hand. And every time we leave home, if you're married, you should always be sure to hug your wife, your husband. Leave on good terms. Because someday when you leave, you will not come back. And you want, when you're with Jesus, you want to remember this. We were on good terms. We got a kiss. We got a hug. Whatever it was. And I left on good terms. That's important. I want you to take the Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of John chapter 16. And today we're going to, it's not necessarily a message about the resurrection. This message here is because of the resurrection. And we're going to continue here back to the book of Acts. And today I'm going to be speaking on the devil bears his teeth. As we are digging deeper into the book of Acts, there are two points I want to make before we go any further. Number one, none of the books of the New Testament existed while the events in which you are reading were taking place. It will be 20 years after the resurrection of Jesus before the first books of the New Testament came into being. The last book written was the book of Revelation, some 60 years after the ascension of Jesus into heaven. The apostles and the early disciples had to rely on their experience with Jesus and the Holy Ghost. John 16, verse number 7. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has of mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. As we study the book of Acts now, I believe it's important we understand that Peter and John did not have the New Testament. All they had was the Old Testament. The New Testament had not been written. And they had to rely upon what they remembered, what Jesus had said and done. And then they had to rely upon the Holy Ghost. You and I have more power because we have the New Testament. We have it written down. We can quote it. We can quote the Word of God. And we get lazy. So we don't need to pray that much. We don't need to ask God, what do I say? Because we have it written down. But it's very important to understand now that Peter and John and James and the others relied upon the Holy Spirit. There will be times when you will not have a Bible with you. There are many times during the week you meet people. You don't have a Bible. And that's a time when you have to rely upon your memory and upon the Holy Spirit to minister. The second point I want to make is this. Jesus revealed to his disciples that the leaders and followers of Judaism did not have God as a father, but the devil. Therefore, we must understand that the leaders and followers of Judaism were demon-possessed, and that this still holds true for today. This explains why it is difficult to lead a Jew to Christ. Turn now back to the Gospel of John, and we will look in chapter 8, and beginning with verse number 31. That's John 8, verse number 31. Before we go there, this last week, there was I believe this lady is a state senator in Oklahoma. And in some private meetings with Christians, she made a statement that homosexuals are a larger threat to the United States than the terrorists. And she said this, that no nation has been able to survive a long time when homosexuals come into power. And then she pointed out some examples. Now, this is something that you could have said 1940, 1950 in the United States, and most people have said, amen, that's right. But today, she got simply totally moved down. She got 21,000 emails in a short time. She was threatened with death, hanging, taking her out. How dare you speak? And of course, the Republican leadership and Democratic leadership got up and said, you know, oh, we are sorry we have such people, you know, in our country. I mean, they are not with the program. Well, we are not with the devil's program. And we got to remember now that we have come to the place that sin is right and right is sin. We're coming down to the end times. And either we believe the Bible and proclaim the truth, or we go with the crowd and leave the Bible behind us. We cannot go in both ditches. Let's read now and see what Jesus said, because a lot of people say, well, he's anti-Semitic. No, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm anti-satanic. In John 8, 31, we read this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How do you say you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I said to you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And a servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I see with my Father, you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Now, verse 41, you might want to make a note around that. Unless you know the background here, you will not understand this verse. You see, at the time of Christ, when he was preaching now, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Jewish leadership had simply spread out this rumor that Jesus was a bastard, that Mary was a whore, and that she got pregnant by a Roman soldier. This was a common thinking of the Jewish people at that time. You go and ask a Jewish person today, and this is what they have been taught in the synagogue for the last 1900 years. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. That's what I said that. You're born of fornication. We're not. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. And now verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Notice now, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said to him, say we not well that you are a Samaritan? Now, what is a Samaritan? That's a mixed breed. that was a mix between Jewish and Gentiles. The worst type, the Jews hated the Samaritans. Say we not well that you're a Samaritan and hast a devil. In other words, they said, not only are you a Samaritan, Jesus, but you are demon-possessed. Jesus answered, I have not the devil, but the honor of my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. Verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that you have a devil. Abram is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead whom you make you yourself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, verily, verily say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Let me read to you from my outline here now. Jesus revealed to his disciples that the leaders and followers of Judaism did not have God as a father, but the devil. Therefore, we must understand that the leaders and followers of Judaism were demon-possessed, and that this still holds true for today. This explains why it is so difficult to lead a Jewish person to Christ. Now turn to Romans chapter 11. What I'm saying to you today now publicly, in a few years, will mean an automatic death sentence. In Romans 11:25, we pick this up. Paul said, by the way, he was Jewish, tribe of Benjamin, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest we should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. What is this blindness there? Well, let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Notice now I'm working out of the Old Testament. And we have the prophet here that even the Jews approve and say he was a prophet. But they don't read what he says. In Isaiah chapter 6, we read from verse number 8 and on. Also heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And God said, go and tell this people, hear you indeed, but understand not. See you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, the city to be wasted without inhabitant, and the house without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaken in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten, as a tail tree, as an oak, whose substance of them, whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be substance thereof. Now, what God said here is simple this. I'm going to judge the nation of Israel. When you and I say no to God, God will after a little while say, fine, I'm not going to speak to you anymore. I'm going to turn you over to judgment. The worst judgment that can happen to a human being is for the Holy Spirit to stop convicting them of their sins. They're given a reprobate mind. They have no understanding. They live their lives, and when they die, they go straight to hell. That is the worst judgment on a nation and upon a person. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew, the 13th chapter. You know, it's not the politicians today, you know, they are, I don't even have a name for them. But I mean, you know, there is no backbone. They like a little bit Christianity. They like a lot of Judaism. Have you noticed this? Every time a politician travels to Israel, they always put a yarmulke in the back. They might be an atheist, whatever it is, but they always got their little skull cap on them, you know. And then they talk to the Muslims and says, oh, you know, roads leads up to heaven. They talk to the Buddhists. They talk to everyone, you know, and says, well, we are all together, God's children. It's a lie. There's only one way, Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 13, verse number 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak unto them in parables? Jesus answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Let's just slow down on that verse. Salvation is a gift. It is not something that you can say, well, when I hit 55, and when I'm 67, or when I'm this age or that age, I'm going to see God. It is either given to you or not. How is it given? It is given through the prayers of the saints. When God's church does not pray, no one gets saved. But to them, it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given. He shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore speak unto them in parables, because they seeing, see not. Hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. This is a judgment. Now, this Democratic candidate Obama is a member of Christ Church in Chicago. And he had a speech the other day trying to explain himself. But if you look upon what that church is teaching, they are simply teaching this, that first of all, that pastor, there is a movement here that simply says that Jesus was a black man. He was black. He was an African. They also teach that Marxism and Christianity should be merged. There is no need for salvation, social works, feeding the hungry, helping the homeless, spreading things out, being a good person, working with everyone. That is a Christian faith of Mr. Obama. And he will make a wonderful candidate because you have that kind of faith. That means the Jews like him, the Muslims like him, everybody likes him. You know, there is no hardcore understanding. And if you go to McCain, you go to Hillary Clinton, you go to the others, you will find that all the politicians are in the same boat. It is simply this, we are making a soup, it's lukewarm, everybody can get in, there's no problem, and there are no absolutes. That is a judgment upon a nation. Verse 17. For verily I said to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which you see, have not seen them, and to hear the things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one, catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed at the stony places, the same is he that hears the word, and anon or at once with joy receives it. Yet has he no root in himself, but endures for a while, for when tribulation and persecution arises, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also received seed among the thorns, is he that hears the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, he becomes unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Every one of us know people that heard the gospel, got pulled away. We have seen people come and people go. And then of those that have truly been born again, there are going to be people that will yield 30%. There are those that will give 60% and those that will give 100%. Three classes in God's kingdom. Let me take you back now to the outline. Unsaved Jews and unsaved Gentiles are possessed by demons. The severity of the demon possession varies from light to heavy. Let me hammer it home again. Unsaved people are possessed by the devil. There are no people in the middle. You and I who are saved, we are possessed by the Holy Spirit. You are either possessed by the Holy Spirit or you are possessed by Satan's unholy spirits. There is no ground between where people says, well, I'm a nice guy, you know, I don't do any harm, I pay my taxes, you know, I raise my children, you know, I do good works. that person is still a child of the devil if he or she has not been born again. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And I'll read from my outline. Therefore, when a person is saved and born again, they are delivered from the power of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of God. I did not write this in Colossians this morning. It was written a long time ago. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from what? For the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. When you receive Christ, you are moved from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. You are transferred from being Satan-possessed to be Holy Ghost-possessed. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, you might wonder, why is it that we have not been able to grow a church faster? Why is it when I was on radio here in California for 30 years, we had a lot of people listening, but we never had an impact? Why is it that Sacramento has never had a revival? We have never had a major move of God in Sacramento. There's been some churches that have grown and so on, but the city itself, the area, has been untouched. Why is it? Because the people here and around the world are held in an iron grip of the devil. Have you noticed this? You go up to somebody and talk about Jesus, they get offended. They get angry. It's a demon's in them. How can we overcome this? It can only overcome through prayer and fasting. Let me take you now to Revelation chapter 2. And again, I didn't write this morning. It's in your Bible. It's straight from the Word of God, straight from Jesus. When Jesus gave the revelation to the Apostle John, 60 years after His resurrection, He was even more blunt than He was in John chapter 8, we read, and told John about the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9. If you read this, I know your works and tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 3, verse number 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Judaism has no redemption plan. If you go to a synagogue and you talk to Jewish people and says, now, are you going to go to heaven? They will simply say, well, we really don't know. We hope so. Maybe so. Most of you don't even believe in a life after death. Judaism has no redemption. They are looking for a Messiah in the future. The Messiah they're going to find is the Antichrist. Let's be honest, and I want to speak not only in this church, but I want to speak around the world. Let's be honest and not beat around the bush anymore. Christianity and Judaism do not mix. never did. Matter of fact, I want to give you this verse just so you understand what I'm talking about. Turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. If you read this here, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse number 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then we go up to verse number 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. He's a creator. And the world knew Him not. He came unto His own. Who did Jesus come to? He came to the nation of Israel, the people of Israel. He came unto His own, and what did they do? And His own received Him not. But as many received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. As Christians now, we should be truthful. We don't hate the Muslims, we don't hate the Buddhists or anyone like that. But if you meet the Muslim, we got to be truthful and say, Mr. Muslim, I respect you as a person, but I want to tell you this, that your religion is going to send you straight to hell. We need to tell Buddhists the same thing. Right now there's a big uproar over Tibet. They're making an uproar there, trying to throw the Chinese out, and so we got the Dalai Lama, you know, on television talking this and that. That man is demon-possessed. He's leading people not to heaven, but lead them to hell. And in order for you not to have the power, we got to begin to understand that we have to understand our product. Let me try to be more clear. Let's say now that you're going to go out and be a salesperson. Let's just pick something. Matter of fact, there was a guy who was going to sell cars. Let's say you're going to sell cars. You just pick any car. I won't give a brand. And now, when you stand at the showroom, you got a customer coming in. He says, now, can you tell me about this car? Well, it's blue. Customer, well, I can see that. Now, what's the quality of this car compared to this over here? Well, this one got four tires. This got four tires. I really don't know, but I'd like to sell it to you. You can look upon that salesman and says, well, do you have a brochure? Do you have some kind of statistics on these different cars? Probably do, but I'll never read stuff like that. My interest is to sell this product to you. I need the money. I don't care what I'm selling you. Now, you just buy it. Blue color is might buy it because it's blue. Would you buy a car from that guy? You would say, hey, man, I'm going to find someone who knows what they're talking about. It's like when you go to Home Depot or Lowe's, you ask a guy, sir, can I ask a question? He says, don't ask me, I just work here. I don't know. You know, they don't have people that are simply educated. You go to the small in the store and they give you service. We need to know our product. Our product is Jesus Christ. We need to sell Jesus Christ to the dying world and to tell the world this. You are going to die someday. Without Jesus, you are going to hell and later the lake of fire, period. That's what we need to tell them. Well, if you don't believe in hell, you don't believe in the lake of fire, why should they believe it? If we are not convinced, that's why we are not soul winners, because we haven't taken this serious. Now let me take you to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew 12. I want to answer my question of why are we not growing any faster? Because most people do not like absolutes. They like to feel good, have a good time, lots of social fellowship, but nothing serious. Matthew 12:29. Isn't it amazing that if you go out and ask people, you know, what's on television? Oh, man, they can tell you every program there is, you know. And my program starts at 8:15, man. I'm following this particular thing, so they know all about the actors and everything else. You take race cars. They know that. You take sport, whatever it is. People know the scores, the drivers, the time, everything else. And you ask about God. And they say, what? What are you going to do when you die? I don't know. I never thought of it. People do not understand. Matthew 12:29. This is what Jesus said. Let me read verse number 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter the strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? What did Jesus do when he walked on earth? He prayed. He would go at night all by himself and spend time in prayer. He bound the strong man and was able to cut out thousands of Jewish people into salvation. The apostle, the same thing. You and I do not really pray that much. We have a lot of activities. We work with things. But when it comes to prayer, this is something we simply cannot back off from. And we need to understand, if we don't bind a strong man, we're not going anyplace. Let me take you back now to the book of Acts chapter 5. This is where we ended here last week. The book of Acts, the 5th chapter. How do you like that for an introduction? The devil bears his teeth. When the power of God was displayed in Jerusalem, and Jewish people were saved, healed, and set free from demons, Satan was filled with wrath and moved upon his disciples. The book of Acts, chapter 5, verse number 14. If I get to the book of Acts, I'm doing well. There we go. And believers were then more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about to Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Now that's good news. But listen now what happened to the crowd of the devil. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is of the sect of Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Why? Because God's work was done. A few weeks ago in Nigeria, in northern Nigeria, where you have more Muslims than Christians, there was a Christian school teacher in public schools. And she had Muslim students. And for some reason, she asked the students to take their backpacks and put them up in the front. And one of the students says, "She touched my backpack. I got the Quran in there. She has defiled the Quran." And they rose up. They stormed out there. She had to flee out of the classroom, run down to the principal office, run in there, and they closed the door. These students, 14, 15, and 16 years old, are rioting. And they demanded for the principal, give us this teacher. We want to have her. The principal, instead of calling the police, asking for help, he opened a door and shoved the teacher out. They took her outside. They beat her. They stabbed her. They stomped on her. And then they poured gasoline on her. And they burned her as she died. While these Muslims were screaming, great is God. You heard them. Akbar. You heard the Muslims scream when they do their killings. The same spirits that were here in Judaism is in Islam. Anger, indignation. The devil hates us. The devil hates God. And when God does good, the devil is angry. We got to recognize that. There's a price to pay. They were able, she had a little girl with her, a little boy that had a little child. They took that out. They were able to save that child. What did the husband do when he found out? He was praising God and thanking God and asking God for strength. You see, in Nigeria, Pakistan, in other places, it costs you to be a Christian. Here, it costs us nothing yet. But the day is coming when we preach like this. It's going to cost us. Then the high priest rose up. And all day they were with him, which is another sect of the Sadducees, that were filled with indignation. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. The devil does not like when God's power is moving. In verse number 19, and I want to read my outline first. God can display his power at any time. And when the apostles were put in prison, God decided to take them out supernaturally to show his superiority over the devil. Verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, this is what I want to tell you about now. This is where we're at. We're not into the Antichrist system yet. We're in a twilight zone between. Right now, God wants to do miracles. Right now, God wants to upset the apple cart with the devil. He wants to give us miracles that will make it look pale compared to the book of Acts. But how are we going to get there? It's going to take prayer and fasting and dedication. And you don't have that unless you're walking with the Lord. Verse number 20 and 21. Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. Now I want you to see something here. If you and I are persecuted, and an angel sets us free, and we run, we would simply say we're going to keep running, we're not going back. And here now, this is only about a couple of months after Jesus was crucified. Just a few months after. And now, the angel said, go back, preach. Peter, John, the apostles were thinking, well, We got arrested yesterday. You go back, we get arrested again. But you see, they did not think about me, myself, and me again. They simply said, well, if we get arrested, if we get beaten, if we get crucified, so be it. We're going to stand and preach the gospel at any cost. This is where we got to come to. Now, where do you start? You start when you hold that cigarette in your hand. Preach the gospel at any cost. Drop that cigarette. When you're holding up a cup, or actually a cup or glass or bottle, whatever it is, to drink alcohol, to pop a pill, whatever it is. If you do not have power over that, how are you going to have power over the demons? So we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Or the outline now. The next event shows that the people in the kingdom of Satan do not understand spiritual matters. They are dull and downright stupid. Verse 22, but when the officer came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found be shut with all safety. The keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted our damn word unto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in the name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us? Listen to that verse again. Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. 2-3 weeks ago, on the East Coast, I think it was Rhode Island, there was going to be a homosexual rally. It was about 5 or 6 Christians. They decided they were going to go and pray. And they went down to the police station and said, we're going to go over to the rally and we're going to pray. And the police simply said this, you go there, you will be arrested. So they went there, didn't say a word, lay down on the grass in the corner someplace, prostrate, and just prayed. The homosexuals went bananas. The demon simply screamed out. The police came, dragged these guys up, handcuffed them, put them in a clink, and said, this is unlawful. When they were brought before the judge, one of the men said, don't we have a constitutional right to have free speech? We just exercised our free speech. We didn't say nothing. We didn't hurt anyone. We were just there. And the judge said, you are in contempt. Back in the slammer. Now, Satan, he is a creep. He is a nasty one. He is a liar. He's a cheat. And he will use anything. Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. If I was preaching this sermon today in Sweden, by the time I was finished, there would be police officers at the door and they would arrest me because there it is against the law to preach like this. It's coming here. But I like what Peter and John said. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. It's going to come down to a time when you and I are going to simply say, if God said it, I believe it, you're going to preach it regardless of what people say. And I like the boldness here and there. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given them to obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to their heart and took counsel to slay them. Notice now, they were convicted, but not over their sins. But they simply said, we got to kill these guys and take them out because they pain us. Then stood there up one of the council of Pharisees named Gamaliel. A doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth to the space. And said to them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourself what you intend to do as touching his man. For before these days rose up Thoas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all, as many obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee, in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people unto him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I said to you, refrain from these men, let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you can overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. This Pharisee was touched by God, and to him they agreed. But you see, now they couldn't leave the apostles alone. And to him they agreed. And when he called the apostles and beat them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Satan will not let you go easy. He will try to get the last word in. And the apostles were beaten. How severe they were beaten, we don't know. But look in verse number 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, moaning and groaning, and complaining to God that they got beaten. Is that what you read? Is that how we live many times? Oh, God, I need this. I need this, God. What's wrong with you, God? Look at this. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple, and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. This is where you and I want to end up. Unashamed, rejoicing when people are attacking us. What can we learn from these events as we wrap this up? Turn to Matthew 19:26. Matthew 19:26. Number one is this. Circumstances means nothing. With God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus beheld them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. This is something you want to hammer into yourself now. With men This is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Circumstances means nothing. Secondly, never leave the post God has assigned you to until He tells you so. Stay in the position. God moved me and my wife to Sacramento 25 years ago. And many times I said, well, I'm an evangelist, got stuck in Sacramento. But this is where God wanted me to stay. This is where I'm at. 30 some years later, I'm still in Sacramento. If you get to a post, don't leave it until He tells you to. Number three, don't be impressed by threats from Satan and his followers. Remember, you are in God's, in the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew the 10th chapter. If you pick it up in verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but not able to kill the soul. But rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? One of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Don't be impressed by threats from Satan and his followers. You are in the service of the King. But whosoever shall deny before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And fourthly, stop complaining and start praising the Lord. Philippians chapter 4. That's Philippians, the 4th chapter. These are good verses. Philippians 4. Rejoice at times in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Again, 4 points. Circumstances means nothing. Never leave the post God has assigned you to. Don't be impressed by threats from the devil and his followers. And stop complaining and start praising the Lord. Let me close my sermon here today with James, the book of James. Now, I had some visitors this morning, and they told me this. First of all, I was sneezing my head off this morning. And he simply said, now, how are you going to preach? Sneezing, hay fever, whatever it is. And you know, I don't even carry any stuff with me. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to do that. And I've done just fine. Now, I decided to stand up today. And the devil says, you know, you're not going to be able to stand up. He's been nicking me a few times in the back. I do have a little bit of pain in my back. There were times I got woozy up here. Where I simply, you know, begin to feel, you know, that things in the room was going a little bit like this. But you see, I was determined. This is my post. I was determined to finish this today. I'm determined to get this message out. And you see, through the Holy Ghost, we might have to fight the devil. We might have to wring his neck. We might have some pain from time to time. But we ramrod it through after we break through. Sissies, do not do that. And people that don't have any backbones, they always take this as, well, you know, I don't feel good, you know, I cannot handle this, I cannot handle that. No, you can't, but through the Holy Ghost, we can handle anything. And this is where we got to come to that place. In James, chapter 1. And Charles asked me, now, why do you have that every time? I said, because I wanted to learn this. You remember the old story I told you years and years ago? And this preacher, he was preaching the same sermon, week after week, the same sermon. After 16 weeks, the deacons came up and said, Pastor, we need to talk to you. And said, now, we are tired of this sermon. We demand a new sermon. Why do you preach the same sermon week after week? And the pastor said, I will keep the same sermon until you get it. When you get it, we go to the next one. James 1, verse 5 here. If any of you lack wisdom, is that you and me? Sure enough. Let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally. And upbraideth not. Now, if you look at the King James Version, you wonder what upbraids mean. It means scolds. He does not say, well, why do you come again and again? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally. And upbraideth not, and he shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I want to ask you a question today. You might ask this to some other people you meet. If this was your last day on earth today, if this was your last day on earth today, would you say, well, praise God, thank you for what I got. I did finish what I could. Or would you simply say this? I didn't finish up. I should have done this and that. Listen closely now. Every time you get depressed, you're losing time. Every time when you get down in the dumps, and you says, well, I'm not going to go to church today. I can't handle it. You're losing time. There will be a day when you says, well, I'm going to go to church today. And God says, no, you're not. I'm going to take you off the planet today. We got to ask in faith. We got to walk in faith. We don't waver. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Who's going to get the job done? The person that's diligent. And I want to ask you today, unbelief must be confessed and renounced. You got to confess it, renounce it, and say, Father God, help my unbelief. Stop complaining and start to say today, God, what can I do? How can I grow more? How can I do more? I want the anointing. And God will give you the anointing. As you have an invitation today in church, for you are listening to me by audio, this is what I'm going to invite you to. God is waiting for you to surrender and something for you to say, Father God, I'm happy with yesterday, but I'm not going to live on yesterday, tomorrow. I want more. I want more and more. I want more faith. I want to rejoice. Whatever God's been speaking to you, as we give the invitation now, you come. Let the elders pray for you and minister to you. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments we had. I want to give you a great praise that my feet held. my back held. Father God, I didn't fall over up here today. I did not sneeze. Father God, I praise you that I was able to let it rip. And Father God, let the words fall out where they should fall. And I pray right now, Father God, that you will meet your people. Let your Holy Spirit now begin to move upon men and women here and around the world, where they would simply say, I'm going to step up to the plate. I've been timid up to now. It is time for me to play ball. And I'm going to get up to that plate, and I'm going to swing it hard. And I'm going to win. Thank you, Father God. I thank you for activating your people today, like they've never been activated before. Not only here, but thousands listening to me around the world this week and coming weeks. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And those who are agreed here said, Amen. I'm going to step back. The elders are here. They will minister to you. You come. If you just want to pray, my chairs here to my right, your left, these are the altars. You can come down and kneel and talk to God. No one will disturb you. Whatever God has laid upon your heart, this is your time to come.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the 18th part in the series, Back to the Book of Acts, and was entitled, The Devil Bares His Teeth. It has become a bloody history in the Book of Acts as the devil becomes crueler in his suppression of the apostles and their followers. The early church faced a merciless Jewish leadership that employed torture and death. But at the same time, they also experienced a powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which had never before been seen on the earth. The early church was born in the fire of the Holy Ghost and baptized in the blood of saints who were slain by the Jews and Romans. This message is available on CD and cassette, and when ordering, ask for sermon number 1126. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number is 1-888-708-3232. That's 1-888-708-3232. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.